You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Hello, comrades. This is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm happy to be here today to kick off the week with my good friend and co-host Sven Longshanks. And it's such a great thing to be able to have Sven here because there's a lot of stuff going on involving the United Kingdom, involving the British Isles. So, Sven, we are so happy to have you here today. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. It's a beautiful day. We've had a few beautiful days here in Britain just recently. It's the hottest days of the year. Spring's in the air. But we've had a bit of a shock today. The news has just come out that Sturgeon, the poisoned dwarf from the north, the First Minister of Scotland, she held a press conference this morning with the news that she's going to hold another Scottish independence referendum next year, which is really treasonous. It's really treacherous. The rest of the country is all looking at trying to make a clean break from the European Union, doing our best with this. Even the politicians that were against it are saying, well, okay, the people have voted, so we've got to go along with the people's vote. And yet Sturgeon, just because slightly less people voted for Brexit in Scotland than in the rest of the United Kingdom, she thinks that Scotland should be breaking away and doing it all on their own. And this isn't the wishes of the Scottish people. Not at all. I mean, it's 50-50. What she's basically doing is she's going to split the whole of Scotland in half again, trying to hold this independence referendum. At the same time, Theresa May and England and Wales and Northern Ireland are going to be doing their best to leave the European Union. They're not going to be wanting to fight another independence referendum in the middle of all these negotiations. It's absolute treason. I mean, the woman should really be arrested and tried for treason against the United Kingdom. And besides that, it's exactly the same thing that we keep seeing on the left, especially in America with Donald Trump that got voted in. We see that the left are refusing to accept the result of the election. They're refusing to accept democracy. And they're saying, he's not my president, we're going to keep rioting, we're going to keep holding protests and damaging public property and attacking people because we don't agree with it. And this is the same thing that we see here with Nicola Sturgeon. She's saying, well, I don't agree with breaking away from the European Union, so we're not going to go along with that. We're not going to go along with the majority of Britain that voted for that. We're going to hold our own referendum. And we're going to try and break away from Britain, split the country in half, just so that we can continue unlimited immigration. I mean, this is the reason for it. She says she doesn't want any curbs on immigration into Scotland. So if she gets away with this, it means that Scotland, well, the white genocide agenda will continue in Scotland. The white Scottish people will continue to be replaced. It means that there'll be this invasion point, basically, in the north of the country, where all the third world will be pouring into. And of course, we haven't got any actual border between England and Scotland. They'll just continue to flood into our country. So it's not good for the Scottish people, it's not good for the white race as a whole, and it's just spoilt tantrums, really, at not getting the result that she wanted. And besides that, I mean, the woman is so irritating. She just reminds me of an irritating fly that needs to be swatted. This Parliament, this devolved Scottish Parliament, it was only started about 20 years ago by Labour, and it was only supposed to be, she was only supposed to be deciding things to do with Scotland, small things, taxes, and it was a devolved legislation, a devolved administration, I believe it's called. But she never actually meant to have any power, never meant to have the power to actually break up the United Kingdom. It was all just power on paper, as it were. So she's got ideas way, way, way above her station. And I just think she should be arrested. She should be arrested and she should be tried for treason against the country. And I think there's going to be a lot of anger directed at Scotland now because of this. I know that you were thinking, well, it's good if the country is free, then it's independent and maybe we'll have a more right-wing England. But I'm looking at this as United Kingdom as a whole. I'm looking at this as, well, the Scots are as much my people as the English and the Welsh are. They're white people, and this isn't good for the white race, for Scotland to be separate, even if it may be better for England and Wales and there may be a more right-wing government at the end of it. It's still not going to be good for Britain as a whole. It would be terrible for Britain as a whole. It's a surprise. None of us were expecting this, Matt, anyway, but I'm sure you've got your own opinions and commentary that you'd like to make on it, so I'll pass it over to you now.
Well, yes, here in the colonies, it's, it's interesting discussion for us to, to be thinking about, because on one hand, for instance, you know, how could we not support Scottish independence, that the Scots want to be free, but at the same time, the nationalist party there is not a nationalist party. It just isn't. The Scottish National Party might have a nationalist in the name, but the SNP is not a nationalist party. They want to be free from London, so they can bow down to Brussels. You know, they want to be able to trade a relationship where things haven't always been hunky dory, and I know this, but trade a relationship with their kinsmen for having a bunch of foreign bureaucrats and Jews to run their country even more. I mean, they want to go full into the EU and to be able to lose any sort of protections that the UK has, previously, where they had a more limited relationship somewhat with the EU. But all that the SNP wants is to really destroy the people. And it's a very disappointing thing, because for me, you know, when I was raised as a kid, I was born and raised Catholic. My godmother is actually from Derry, or Londonderry, depending on which side of the line you're on in that. And, I grew up with Irish Republican songs, for instance. And I grew up, you know, I was taught the Irish national anthem in its native tongue. And I knew all that stuff due to heritage and history. And, but then when you read books, and I got one of Jerry Adams' books when I was a teenager, and I'm reading about Nelson Mandela, and I was like, what are we talking about, Nelson Mandela and, you know, the Church Street bombing and bombing, you know, white people in South Africa? I thought you were supposed to be a nationalist for the Irish people. And then you find out the same thing as the SNP, like in Northern Ireland and in the Republic, that the supposed nationalist party is actually the multicultural party, that they don't actually, you know, they want to introduce like Irish language laws. Well, that's good. Keep your heritage alive. But they also want mass immigration, so their people in three generations will barely exist on their mother continent, you know, on their mother country, on their mother soil. It's an absolutely insane process where we see this time and time again. So as nationalists, I think it is a messy situation. I can only imagine how messy it is for you because of how many people on both sides lost their lives in the Troubles. I mean, I know that London was bombed during the Troubles, so it wasn't just limited to Ireland and Northern Ireland. But we see this time and time again. It's much like the Republicans here in the United States, where the Republican Party says that they're like the patriotic party. That's going to, you know, before they haven't said put America first, but they've always kind of had that sort of rhetoric. But the first thing they do is send our sons off to die in globalist wars, ship our jobs overseas, and then ship millions of people into our country to demographically change our landscape. So it really is a messy situation, to say the very least. And, you know, it does worry me that I saw in the elections that happened in Northern Ireland last week, that the DUP, which is the Loyalist Party, only has a one-seat majority over Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin picked up a lot of seats. They might have another snap election because they can't get along. But it is really sad to see that supposed nationalist parties are actually doing the exact bidding of the radical left. And this has been a process for a very long time. And how many thousands, I mean, thousands of people were killed during the Troubles, for instance, and things like this. Historically, how many tens or hundreds of thousands of our countrymen have killed one another over these sorts of fights? And our civilization is being destroyed. It's being attacked. It's being eroded. We're being demographically displaced. But so many forces are really siding with the internationalists in the name of nationalism to destroy their own people. It's a very bizarre thing for us in the United States, and it's a very interesting thing too amongst the nationalist community. You know, so many people are divided on the issues in Ukraine, but if you really want to get a bunch of nationalists in America arguing over something, bring up Northern Ireland, for instance, and things like that. And there's, of course, a lot of emotions on every side. We need to, you know, as Commander Rockwell said, that, you know, we don't need to be Northerners or Southerners. We don't need to be conservatives or liberals. We need to vote and act as white men. And it's the sort of thing that I think in all these circumstances, you know, what's going on, and we see, we've talked about it before on the show, that when you've got Udo Voigt of the NPD going to meet with, you know, the descendants and veterans of Stalingrad to be able to say that Germany and Russia will not be at war again. We are going to fight for European civilization. We are going to stand together. If the Germans and the Russians that after World War II were, are able to put all that aside and nationalists can come together, we in Western Europe and then the United States, because there's still a divide between Northerners and Southerners here. It's been getting better within our movement, but it still exists. We need to put all that aside and we need to think and act like white people, because this is all of our future. That, as you said, that if Scotland became independent under the SNP, well, then all of the United Kingdom is going to be flooded with even more immigrants, which is going to lead to more Rotherhams. It's going to, you know, lead to more Lee Rigby-style murders. It's going to lead to faster demographic changes. So we need to be thinking not about historical feuds. We need to, you know, support our culture, keep our culture alive. That's such an important thing. You know, traditional European languages and customs, we need to keep those alive. Very, very important. But we need to stop thinking in regards to the lens of the past and start putting the future of European people and European civilization first. And that means in circumstances like this, that means coming together. That's, you know, the Holy League, you know, fending off the Muslim invasion of Europe. And, you know, who comes and saves the day? Well, the winged hussars from Poland come, you know, sweeping over the hill to be able to save, you know, Europeans from, you know, almost a dozen nations who are coming together to defend Europe at the gates. We're in a very similar situation. We cannot afford to have Hungarians and Romanians hating each other over Transylvania or things like that. We are all white people, and we're fighting for the same future. We need to stand together. And, you know, this, you know, Sturgeon coming and saying that we need to break, you know, have Scotland hold another referendum to be able to, you know, lead more immigrants coming into Scotland and to bow down even more to the globalist power structure and the Jewish bankers of the EU. That just proves that Sturgeon is betraying the Scottish people, and we need to come together, put aside our previous feuds, and be able to fight together for Western civilization.
Well, she is. She's a complete traitor to the Scots people, and it's really offensive that they call themselves the Scottish National Party, Scottish Nationalist Party, when they're internationalists, when they want to be a part of the European Union, they want to be a part of the New World Order, they want to be a part of globalism. They push for all the Marxist policies. They want all the socialist policies, but they don't have any ways to actually get the money in. They just want to tax people lots of money, and they want to flood the country with foreigners. They have no respect for the ethnicity, no respect for the ethnic Scottish people, and it gives a bad name to nationalists, because when the BBC talk about nationalists, that's what they mean. They mean these cultural Marxists from Scotland calling themselves the Scottish Nationalist Party. And Sinn Féin are exactly the same. They're just as bad. I mean, they've just brought in a new female leader of Sinn Féin, and she has to be the roughest looking female I've seen ever as a politician. She looks more likely to be the sort of woman that you see urinating on the sidewalk late on a Saturday night in a city centre. I mean, this woman is really rough, and she sounds rough, and yet they've put her forward as the leader of Sinn Féin. And you only have to look at what they've done in the Republic of Ireland and what they push for in Northern Ireland with Sinn Féin. It's all cultural Marxist policies. Straight away, they were wanting to be a part of the EU. They held a referendum, and they didn't get the result they wanted. So they held another referendum in order to force Ireland into the European Union. If this was a truly nationalist party that they had in Scotland or in Ireland, then I would be supporting them. Same as I would support any nationalist party that was truly nationalist. But they don't pay any respect to ethnicity. They think that anyone that comes into Ireland or comes into Scotland, passes a test, can then call themselves Scottish or Irish. And if you look at the Irish Constitution, it's got nothing about people actually having to be Irish to actually have any of these rights. They're just rights that they will give to anyone that comes into the country. And these rights are things that our ancestors died for. They paid in their blood in order to achieve the rights that we have. And there are duties that come with them. And they're bestowed upon people that are connected by blood and by soil to those that fought for them. They're not things that can just be handed out to anyone that comes into the country just because you think that they're going to earn more money for the country. It's a lost game. If you bring in immigrants expecting them to pay for your pensions and to pay all your bills, then that's ridiculous. I mean, who would want to do that? I mean, would you want to do that, Matt? Would you want to go to another country and pay all their bills for them? No, you wouldn't. You would go to another country if the deal there was better than the deal that you were getting back at home, which is the reason for all of these immigrants trying to come into our countries, because they know that just the dole money, just the welfare money is worth more than they can earn with a high-powered job back home in places like Africa and the Middle East. What they can earn in a week on the dole here is, you know, almost a year's wages in some places in Africa. And then when they do get that money, if they are working and they are earning a lot of money, that all just gets sent back home to their home country, and they do all they can to bring in the rest of their family. And this is one of the things that really gets me when they talk about these poor war refugees and these poor orphans, and it's only one of them, and we'll just bring them here to Britain and we'll look after them. Well, if that isn't bad enough, the millions that it will cost to actually do that, and the white orphans that are displaced by them, as soon as they get to 18, they'll be allowed to bring over all the rest of their family to continue sponging off the British welfare state, but due to this human rights law. And none of these countries ever fought for human rights. Nobody came up with human rights in Africa. Nobody came up with human rights in the Middle East. It was white people that came up with that, and it should only have applied to our own people. It's ridiculous to apply it to these other people because they are just going to take advantage of it. And this doesn't get spoken about by these pretend nationalist groups, nationalist parties. I suppose you could call them plastic nationalist parties because they're not genuine, they're not real, they're copies of the real thing. And it's slurred the name of nationalism, really. Because if you talk to someone that isn't really aware or doesn't really know much about nationalism in Britain, they will think, if you say you're a nationalist, that you support the SNP or you support Sinn Féin. It won't cross their mind that that means that you support ethnic nationalism and you're talking about heritage and blood and soil and your nation being an extension of your family. That just doesn't come into it. They think that you support these cultural Marxist parties that really should be called the Scottish Internationalist Party. They have no respect when they're in the parliament either, Matt. Go on.
Well, you know, I just want to say you're exactly right. And I was thinking while you were talking, just to take a look, you know, Irish republicanism, I think, is a an interesting thing to look at, again, regardless of people's feelings, on the issue. And I pulled up the Proclamation of the Irish Republic. And if you just, you know, I just want to list some of the lines and then compare that to Sinn Féin, and the SNP is very much the same way. It starts off by saying, "In the name of God and of all the dead generations from which she receives her old tradition of nationhood, Ireland through us summons her children to her flag and strikes for her freedom." And then later it says, "The Irish Republic is entitled to and hereby claims the allegiance of every Irish man and every Irish woman." And there's some other things in here, that's all about Irish destinies to be sovereign and indefeasible, that they're not going to have a long usurpation of that right by a foreign people and government, and so on and so forth. And I was thinking back to last year on Twitter. I had some fun when I still had my Twitter account before it got shut down. And when it was the 100th anniversary of the Easter Rising, you know, in 2016, they it was the 100th anniversary, so 100 years later, and they had all these pictures from Irish schools of black students dressed as Irish Republicans, dressed as members of the Provisional Irish Republic, dressed as members of the IRA. And you just think how insane that is. If you were to go back 100 years And, you know, again, not picking a side on this fight. It's not my fight to have. But if you were to talk to the men who were writing the dead generations from which she receives her old tradition of nationhood, and that Ireland is summoning her children to her flag and strikes for her freedom, and that they're not going to have any usurpation of that right by a foreign people and government. If you just compare that to like Sinn Féin today, wanting mass immigration, wanting to bow down to a foreign people and government through the Jewish power structure and a foreign government of the European Union. What did these people die for? I mean, I don't understand how any of these, you know, supposed Irish nationalists. Now, of course, there are actual Irish nationalists, actual Irish patriots, many whom, I've had the pleasure to be able to meet, that are national socialists, that, of course, support the blue shirts. Eamon O'Duffy, of course, he brought his men to go and fight on the nationalist side during the Spanish Civil War, and even volunteered Irish forces to go and fight in Eastern Europe during World War II. And, those are the sorts of things that if you want to have a legacy of Irish nationalism, go to that. Go to the ones that were actually fighting internationalism and fighting back the communists and the anarchists in Spain and things like that. But, the idea of comparing just the words and the belief systems of 100 years ago, I don't think if you went to talk to Pierce or Conley or anyone like that, any of the Irish Republican heroes, and said, do you want your people to be governed by the most tyrannical government that's ever existed, the European Union and the Jewish international elite? Do you want your people to be demographically displaced? Do you want Irish people to be a minority, 200 years from this moment where you're giving your lives for the sake of your nation? They would look at you like you were crazy. I mean, and this is for everything. If you go back in time and were to talk to anyone, if you were to talk to the British soldiers that were sent to go storm the beaches of Normandy and say that, this is so Winston Churchill can ensure that your granddaughters and great-granddaughters can be raped and trafficked on the streets of England. Is this what you're fighting for? They would absolutely turn their guns on the other side. There is no way that they would support these things, but it really is, there's no other word that I can think of, and I think I'm using the proper context. It's a bastardization of nationalism. There's no other way to explain it. The idea that in 100 years that the Irish nationalists, the Scottish nationalists, and nationalists in so many different countries who were fighting and dying for their people, for their heritage, for their children, that their legacy has now been taken and twisted by the enemy. And same here in the United States, to think, talking about freedom. And of course, the left, now that Trump has won, loves to talk about the Constitution. They hated the Constitution, 6 months ago, but now they love it because Trump's fighting against the Constitution, they say, talking about American values. And what were the founders fighting for? And, pornography and gay marriage and things like this is what they say, in mass immigration. And you remember that George Washington actually would have his men forcibly, they had to go to church every single Sunday, because if we didn't have religion, that God would not look favorably upon our cause. So you were forced to go to church. Didn't matter what your opinions were, you were going to church. Every colony had a state church at the time that this nation was founded. You had, leaders amongst the Continental Army that would actually have their men flogged if they cursed and they were caught doing it by an officer, if they didn't go to church, if they were doing things like drunkenness that would turn God's favor against us. You think about the men who froze at Valley Forge to fight in the American Revolution. You compare that and you go and you ask them, so are you fighting to be able to, when you say all men are created equal, are you saying that you want the white race to be subservient on the land that you are building, a new nation? Is that what you want? Are you dying? Are you losing your limbs and, with frostbite or losing your friends to cannon shot or to sickness for the sake that your people will become a minority on this continent, or so homosexuals can get married, or so we can murder 3,000 unborn children a day, or we can have pornography broadcast over the media? They would look at you like you were crazy. And this is the perversion of true nationalists. And again, I wish Europeans would never fight one another. And this, we must stand together and put aside any sort of fratricidal conflicts or like that. But it's a perversion. It's happening in Scotland and Ireland. It happens in the United States. I mean, it happens in England too, where they talk about English values, where those politicians that trumpet that are trying to destroy the English people. It really is a perversion of nationalism to appeal to people's sentiments and then to do the exact opposite.
Yeah, I think it's more like corporatism. It's more like the corporation. You know, each country is run like a corporation, and what they mean is loyalty to the Irish corporation, loyalty to the Scottish corporation, and it doesn't matter what race the employees are of that corporation, and yet they call this corporation a nation. So that's more like what their loyalty is to, rather than to the ethnic nation. Now, if you look at Sinn Féin, they've now got a feminist that's leading them. Would they have ever even contemplated that 100 years ago? They certainly wouldn't. And it's just come out now that Sturgeon has called for this referendum. Sinn Féin are now saying there must be a referendum on Irish unity held as soon as possible, and Plaid Cymru are saying that there must be a debate on Wales separating from the United Kingdom as well. And Plaid Cymru don't have any support whatsoever. They're not even in power in the devolved Parliament of Wales. And yet they're calling for Wales to be separated from England. And it's all to do with this this Brexit vote. And more people voted in Wales to leave the European Union than in any of the other countries in the Union. I mean, it was something like 7-3. That voted to leave the European Union. Just about all the counties in Wales said that they wanted to leave. And yet now you've got Plaid Cymru stepping in there saying, oh, we want to be separate from England. You've got Sinn Féin saying, oh, we want to be separate from the United Kingdom. Scotland doing the same. None of this is the people's wishes. The people together, the United Kingdom together, all voted, and the vote was that we should leave the European Union. And what that means is leaving the common market. That's what the European Union is. That's what it was sold to us as, was a common market that we could have so that we could trade with all these other countries. And it was only after that was signed and we became a part of this common market, then after that it slowly dawned on us that this was a huge political union, and that this trading group of unelected politicians, unelected bureaucrats, were going to be making our laws, telling us what taxes we could charge, telling us that we would have no borders, and telling us what amount of immigration we were going to have. All of this was only revealed after we actually became a part of the common market. So when we had this vote to leave the European Union, the first thing that means is leaving the common market. And yet you've got Sturgeon and Sinn Féin and Plaid Cymru, and they're all saying, oh, we can't leave the common market. We don't want to be leaving the common market. This wasn't a referendum on leaving the common market. Well, the European Union is the common market. This soft Brexit, hard Brexit, it's all nonsense. If you leave the European Union, that means you leave the common market. It means that we can make our own laws once again. It means that we can defend our borders once again. It means that nobody can say we have to take X amount of refugees like Angela Merkel is trying to do to the rest of Europe, demanding that all these other countries in Europe take a quota of these invaders. None of that. It means that we can say Britain is full. We don't need any more. We don't want to be building a new house every 1.5 minutes for these people to live in, knowing that it will all be subsidised by the white people or the few white people that still have a job. And even one of the top directors at Tesco's this week said that the white male is going extinct in the boardrooms of Britain. There's just no white males anymore. It's all females and ethnic minorities, and they're all only being given these positions on the boards of directors purely because they're an ethnic minority. And he wasn't saying this because he supports white people. He was saying it because he wants more of it. He was trying to encourage more women and more ethnic minorities to apply for these top jobs, because they will just be given them purely because they're an ethnic minority and purely because they want to replace all the white people. We've got no mainstream parties that are speaking up for white people. But this vote to leave the EU, that was a vote for nationalism. I mean, that was a vote for sovereignty. That was a vote to leave the European Union and to start making our own laws again. So that shows you've got 17 million people in Britain that support nationalism. We just need a party that will capitalise on that, really, Matt. And UKIP, I'm sorry to say it, but they just seem to be a bit of a failure at the moment. So I don't know who's going to step forward to do it. I'm hoping the Tories will move further right, but maybe that's wishful thinking. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's we just have to keep struggling and fighting. And, you know, this entire situation, our entire conversation that we're talking about, I'm going to close, I think, with a great quote from Sir Oswald Mosley, because Mosley understood where things was going when he was speaking about this. So we'll end with that. Like the other poor devils in China, India, and Japan, a new great field for sweatshops to be opened up. So these new industries which we are creating in Britain today will be destroyed as the old industries were, simplified, rationalized machinery with a few white surveyors, and then the masses of cheap colored labor torn off the land and taken into the sweatshops to work in labor and cough their guts out with tuberculosis until they too are thrown on the scrap heap of the sweatshops. Is that worthy of Britain? Is that to be the future of Europe? And is this competition to be organized within our own European brotherhood? Bringing in these sweat fields in Africa into our European civilization so the financial power in one European country can use it against the financial power in another. Or the great financial central power of the world now shifted from the city of London to Wall Street, New York. Shall be able the mass of money, of wealth, and of power which brings to it, again and again to exert its influence on politics. Until you see that day, it is childish nonsense to say that the British government rules Britain. It's nothing to do with British government or the British people. The government of the world is the financial government, the power of money and of money alone. And, you know, with that, I think it sums it up that everything that's happening now, the government that is being pushed right now in Europe, in the United States, is the power of money and of money alone. And we must stand against this. We must raise up our brothers and sisters in true nationalist movements, reject these plastic nationalists, as you said, Sven, and to be able to fight for a future not only for Britain or for Scotland or for Ireland or here in the United States, but for all European peoples, but also all peoples that are enslaved under capitalism and the Jewish power structure. We must bring about a new age of nationalism. So Sven, thank you so much for being here. And ladies and gentlemen, let's kick off another great week of the Daily Traditionalist. And remember, we are fighting the financial government. We are fighting the power of money, and we are fighting for our children. So thank you so much. And I'll look forward to being back tomorrow. Hail victory.
Tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.